Hey, this morning I am excited. Let me just give you some background on our speaker this morning. It was, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I don't know. We started as a part of a men's group, men just gathering together. We met on Tuesday mornings, I think. We met like Tuesday mornings at like 7 a.m. We would meet before work and just gather together to encourage one another. And out of that, there was a group of us that just became close, where we just began to challenge each other in all aspects of our life, being better husbands, being just better men of God, being better fathers, and just encouraging each other. And it was really interesting, that group and that time, how God started to stir in different ways. It was about that time when God started to stir our hearts to leave Newburgh and go plant a church somewhere else, become senior pastors. But also at that time, our speaker, the Lord began to stir in their heart towards missions, and they began to sell their house and began to downsize into smaller and began to prepare themselves for the mission that God had for them. And then it was probably about 2 years ago they left and took off to Vanuatu to be missionaries overseas. And it was all about obedience. It was about God stirring in their hearts and them listening to God and saying, okay, God, we'll do whatever you call us to do. And little did they know that that would be to go over to this group of islands far away from their home, far away from Oregon, to be missionaries in Vanuatu. And they have been the missionaries that we have been supporting for the last 2 years. They are now back here in the States as they serve their 2 years in missions and heading back. And as they were here, I just said, I'm gone this week. Would you come and speak and share with our congregation? Because we want to hear from you, especially because he was supposed to share a year ago. And we had this stuff happen where it was so bad we had to cancel church. And he didn't get to speak the last time he was visiting here when they were back on furlough. But they're back now to stay. And so I even told him, I said, okay, if it snows, we'll have you next week. All right. You're not leaving back to Vanuatu, so we don't have to worry about that. But will you please welcome Craig Duncan as he comes and shares with us this morning.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I thought this morning was going to be like kind of like Darren's story at the Toby Mac concert. Like, he was thinking last night was going to be another downer, but it turned out to be awesome. He thought that it was going to be. He didn't get a ticket on the way home, apparently, so that's good. This morning, I thought it was the same thing. I'm like, oh, snow, seriously? Because I was here, our family and I were here just last January, I think it was, when the big snow hit, and you guys, I think, canceled services, and rightfully so. It was a terrible morning. But anyway, we're here, and I'm glad to worship with you guys this morning. For those of you that don't know our family, I'm Craig, and we've known the Houselers for many years. But Audrey is right here. She's the same age as Emma, and Micah is up here as well. He's 10, and my wife Heather is here, and then Adeline is downstairs in class. But anyway, we've known the Houselers for probably 13-ish kind of years, and we don't have to tell you how special they are. They are an amazing. Sorry, they're an amazing. They're an amazing family. Yeah. I'm not off to a good start. They're an amazing family to us. They're very special, and they love the Lord. All right, I'm going to keep going. It's going to get better. It'll get better. We'll start laughing here pretty soon. But they are very special to us, and I'll stop there. But anyway, about two and a half years ago, we were sent out from Newburgh Four Square Church. I think they call it Red Hills Church now. But we were sent out from there, and we went to a place called Vanuatu. And if you don't know where that is, that's okay, because no one does. And I'll kind of explain that here in a little bit. But anyway, we served the people of Vanuatu for about 2 years, and we just returned here last December. And so we've been back and we're trying to get settled back into life here. And we're done serving there full time. But it's a very special place for our family, and we'll continue to serve there probably in different capacities for a very long time. This morning, I wanted to first say a big thank you to this church and to Darren and Stacy and the council for generously first all of you as well to 'cause you generously support this church and this church generously supported us. And so because of that, missionaries like our family can do what we do, and we can't do it. Unfortunately, it costs money to do ministry, but we know that people, I love this, it's a cliche, but it says if it's God's will, it's God's bill. And all throughout our process, God was faithful, and churches and congregations were faithful to support us. And I just want to say thank you to this congregation for supporting us. We've been on quite a journey over the last 2 years. Vanuatu is a very different place, a very special place, but we have so many stories we could tell you. We could talk for days and days and days, and we certainly don't have time to do that this morning. But I wanted to show you a quick video this morning before I get started, kind of give you a taste of what Vanuatu is like. But I hope that when you watch this video, that you can watch it with a little different perspective. I hope that you can watch this and know that the ministry that we were doing there is actually our ministry. It's your ministry. It's our ministry. I hope you don't see, oh, look what the Duncans were doing. No, I hope that you look at it and say, look what the Duncans were doing, kind of together in partnership with Dallas Four Square Church, because this is also your ministry. And so I hope you look at this video with a sense of pride of what God did through your generosity. And so this is a short video about, it was our last big project there. We were building some churches in a very remote place. And it makes it look all nice and you can smile and looks, you have this warm feeling, but it was very hard. It was probably the hardest thing we did in Vanuatu is I cannot describe how remote these places are and how difficult it is to build a simple structure. And so anyway, I hope you enjoy this video. And again, thank you, because this is our ministry together. Cool, right? Thank you. You can give yourself a hand, because again, I can't stress this enough that this isn't something that the Duncans did, but something we did together. And I hope that we can take pride in knowing that you can make a difference in places far, far away, just here in Dallas, without going anywhere or getting on an airplane or anything like that. So thank you for your obedience to give as well, because it really does make a difference. And so for those of you that don't know much about Vanuatu, it's okay. We didn't know even how to say Vanuatu until maybe, 10 months or maybe a year and a half before we went. But you can throw this next photo up, Stacy. It's Vanuatu is it's sort of east of Australia, west of Fiji. New Caledonia is nearby. Solomon Islands, Papua New Guinea is nearby, are some of the close neighbors. But just to give you a few facts about Vanuatu, it's a poor developing country with only about 280,000 people. And it consists of about 82 individual islands. You can go to the next slide, Stacy. 82 individual islands, with about 65 of those actually have people on them. And the main language is Bislama, which our family is close to fluent in. And it's sort of a pidgin English. And but there's over 100 indigenous languages, 100 languages. So in all those islands, none of those people, their heart language is the same. So they had to come up with a language that they could all understand each other. But they only use it to talk to each other. But their own place, in their own island, they speak another language. And so many of them, if they do know English at all, it's maybe a third or fourth or fifth language. French is mixed in there as well. So it's a very complicated place to minister just because of language. And so that's why translators are very valuable with their ministry in the islands. But Bishlama, you can get through most of the islands with that language, which I was somewhat fluent in. So we had some missionary friends, Jeremy and Sarah Moody, who the Hausers know. They used to send updates out, and they would have a section in their updates called Not Wrong, Just Different. And it was sort of this comical thing of different things you see in the developing world that are just not wrong. It's just, okay, that's different. It kind of makes you chuckle. And so I hope this morning you can laugh with me a little bit, because we saw that every single day. And the cool thing about having an iPhone is you can just go, look at this, check this out. And you just snap a photo. And so I hope that we can laugh a little bit. But in the developing world, it's the land of copycats, right? It's things that you see, like maybe in the States or someplace else, and they just change it just enough. So that's not really copying, but you can tell it's copying. And so this next photo is of, I got mixed up. This is not what I thought it was. This is a newspaper front page of something that is not that funny. It's actually pretty serious. But I guarantee you never see this headline in the Oregonian or something like that. It says fear of sorcery and killings. How do we deal with it? I just had to take a photo of that. That was like our first week in the country. And I'm like, oh my goodness. But they can range the sorcery and the black magic and the witchcraft can range from very real harmless superstitions to very dark things that are actually very evil. And it does eventually end in some very tragic situations. And so I had to take a photo of this because just to let you know that this place is not, we're not in Kansas anymore. It is not like where we're from. And that we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But we were brutally aware when we first got there that we are not in home. This is not home. We're in a different place, which is kind of goes unsaid. But this next photo is what I thought we were going to start with. But Pizza Hut. it's not Pizza Hut. It's Pizza Hut. And so it kind of works. The sign looks the same. And actually, they sell pizza. But just to kind of continue along these same lines, this next photo is spotting. It's not Spalding. It's spotting. So you just kind of move the letters around, kind of use the same font, and then no one's going to know the difference. This next one is great. This is Columbla, sportswear fashion. We have a friend that works at Columbia in Portland, and I had to send this to him, and he just had a kick of it. But that one's actually pretty obvious. I almost bought the shirt just to say there's no one around Portland that has this shirt, I can guarantee you. Now, this next photo is of a private ambulance service, and this is kind of all in Bishlama, and I'm going to make a little light of some of this. Now, don't get me wrong. These are medical conditions that I'm not making light of the medical conditions. They're very serious. But I am making light of how they describe the medical condition. The first one is Pekinini got fever. So your child has a fever, okay? If you do, you call 115. This is like a little ambulance service. And by the way, it says you shouldn't risk your own life taking a taxi is what that means. You should call us. But anyway, Pekinini got fever, short wind, like you're short of breath. You're short of breath. Or chesty sore, so like your chest is sore. That's what that means. This is the best one. Half dead. if you're half dead, you need to call us. All right. Which I don't know how you call if you're half dead, but anyway. Big fella fire bone, so you have a really bad burn. You burned yourself with fire. This one is awful. Sick blung fowl, which is basically a fowl is a chicken. That's what they call it. Chicken is fowl. But we believe, and I another missionary and I went back and forth on what this actually means, because he's much better in Bishlama. But we think that what this means is that when you have like tremors, or when you're shaking, your head goes back like a chicken, like that. And so that's sik plong fao. So you're shaking or you're moving like a chicken. Accident blong truck, so you have a truck accident. Got belly bonim. If you're pregnant, you got bell. You woman has bell. And so if you're having a baby, call. And then blood run big one. So like you're bleeding really bad. You can call. Anyway, this was on the island of Santo, and we had a kick of that. But don't risk your own life with a taxi. You call us. I took someone to the hospital one night, and I was in the emergency room in the main capital city. This is the highest hospital. And I'm sitting around, and I'm waiting, and I saw this next sign that I guarantee you won't see anywhere in America. It says, how to recognize leprosy. And I guess a little naive, and I thought that was just a Bible times thing, and that was pretty much not a thing anymore. But it is, and it's not funny. I'm putting it up there just to show that this is a very different place that struggles with things that we would never think of. So I had to take a photo of that. This next photo is of a guitar capo in the village, and man, they can get resourceful. That is a ballpoint pen with a piece of fabric tied up. And so next time, Darren, your worship team says they need some musical equipment, you just show them that. Say, no, figure it out. You'll figure it out. So in Vanuatu, they have these huge coconut crabs. Coconut crabs, they climb up the coconut tree. They clip off the coconut. It falls down. They go down and they can actually crush a coconut, a normal coconut, with their claws. So much power. And they're actually very tasty, coconut crab are. And they sell them in various restaurants. And this next photo happens to be in a Chinese restaurant. And it says, there's coconut crabs in this cage. They're alive. It says, please take care of your children. Don't put hands into the cage. Thank you for your cooperation. Otherwise, the consequences is not good. I thought that last line kind of goes without saying, but they needed to put it in there. This next photo is, I was in a remote island called Malekula, and it was an AOG church, and in the outside the front door of the AOG church, it says, "Name blong algeta where only been faithful blong pame tithe blong algeta long monies May 2016." They put a list of the names of the people that are paying their tithes and offerings outside the front door, and in a village of maybe like 75 people, it's pretty easy to figure out who's not pulling their weight. So Darren and I talked. He's thinking about instituting that, and you'll hear about that next Sunday. Anyway, there's a Vanuatu and lots of developing countries get sent a lot of clothing that doesn't sell in the United States, and some of them are actually really foul t-shirts that, you know, say really awful things, and you can understand why they didn't sell in the United States. But people that need a shirt are happy to wear it. They actually don't even know what it means anyway, because they're not really fluent in English and really the puns that are there. But anyway, I chose not to take any photos of those. But I was in Tana Island, which is so remote. There's people that are maybe just started wearing clothes, maybe about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. And I happened upon this guy. Again, shirts that don't sell in the United States find themselves. But I was like, hey, I got to take a photo of you. And he had no idea. He's just like, I don't understand. And that was pretty early on in my Vishlama was bad. But the photo bomb guy, he needed to get in the photo too. But anyway, but in the city, we happened upon this next guy with the duck hat on. And he's a little more with it. He was in the city. He might have a job and stuff. And so we had to take a photo because he's a duck supporter. But anyway, you'll see the wildest things in the way of clothing. So last year we were coming back for furlough, and the local people are just so kind and so loving. And we were kind of come back for like a month and a half and then go back to Vanuatu. But the people, our local friends and brothers and sisters, in Christ, just felt, there was like this sense that we were never coming back. And like, so they wanted to meet us at the airport and see us off and give us all these gifts and things. And they're super kind. But we just kept telling them, like, no, we're just going to go for a short time and then we'll come back. And, but they don't care. They wanted to bless us. And one, lady in the church, made a basket for Heather. And, that's this next photo here. And, it was really, really well done. And we were just so thankful. And we just kind of examined the basket. We turned it over and it said, Dungeon, Heather Dungeon. Our last name's Duncan. And so they have trouble that the letter C is not in Bislama. And so they don't use that letter. And so they use G. And so it says Dungeon, Heather Dungeon. It's okay. No one knows any different, and Heather used the basket all the time. This next one is a real sign that in the bathroom in Port Vila, if you've ever been to Jimmy John's, they have signs just like this in their bathrooms. I've never seen that one in there, but, anyway, I thought that kind of goes without saying, but, in Port Vila, they need to let you know how to use the toilet. This next section I call the things that make you go ooh, and this next photo is a photo of canned horse meat, and this is for sale in many shops, a few dark shops around Port Vila, but it's good to know that it's premium quality. That's good to know. It's the good stuff. That's right. This next photo is a photo of a spider that was in my room. In Tana Island, and I wished it was near something to give you perspective on size, but it was similar to size of my hand, and it has hair on it and stuff. It's not a tarantula, although it looks like it. They're actually very tame, and kids let them play all over them, and yeah, it's not right. They shouldn't do that. This next photo is of a horned beetle that. You'll be playing soccer in the grass and you'll just kind of go and you're like, ah, that, and it starts hissing at you. And these things have these huge, I think they're called like rhinoceros beetles or something like that. I don't know, but they look kind of like a rhino, but, these things will, scare you. They'll scare you real fast. This next photo is of our outside sink in our house. We had a outside laundry and, those are cockroaches. It's a stainless steel tub and they can't climb. Once they get in, they can't climb their way out. And I don't know, they can't fly out, I guess. Cause cockroaches fly. Did you know that? Or at least these did. Those don't fly anymore cause they were dead. I killed them. But, I do not like cockroaches. And, Heather and I had many of nights when the kids are asleep and we hear it little clicking out in the kitchen. And, we're out there with our flashlights and our, flip flops trying to, Heather's really good at it. I don't really like him. Anyway, so I hope you can have a few laughs with me this morning. You have to have a sense of humor. You have to be flexible because it is a different place. But anyway, I wanted to show you just a little bit about what our ministry was like, what our life was like in Vanuatu. Many of you maybe have kids and might be interested kind of what our kids' life was like in Vanuatu, because being a missionary with kids, especially young kids, makes things a lot more challenging. You have to figure out schooling and there's a lot of safety things, health things that you just need to kind of watch out for. But our kids, we believe that our kids were missionaries along with us. It's not just something mom and dad were part of. They're missionaries as well. And so they're here this morning. If you want to ask them what their time was like in Vanuatu, they'd love to tell you. But I thought I'd show you just a few photos. This photo is of they went to a international school. That's their uniforms. Aussies. It's so close to Australia. They have a lot of Australian influence, and so they like to wear the big hats. The kids can't go out to recess unless they have the big hat on. But anyway, that's our kids in their uniforms. There's a black dog there named Toby. By the way, we miss Toby. This next photo is. Of the kids in the back. You can pull over to little roadside rest and they have roasted corn, sweet corn, and the kids, I'd make them sit in the back and eat it. But anyway, it was some little treat. You know, you pay just, I don't know, maybe 25 cents and, and someone roasts some corn for you. Since we've been back, I hear the kids often say things to each other like, "Hey, we can't do that. We're not in Vanuatu anymore. Hey, Adeline, stop that. Don't do that. We're not in Vanuatu anymore." And one of the things is riding in the back of the truck. They loved it. It's really dangerous, but they love to do it. This next photo is of riding in the back of the truck. This next photo, though, is of Audrey. That's in the villages scratching coconuts. So most, if you've ever been to Alaska, you know how salmon are just in the culture of Alaskans. Like salmon is how they survive. Well, coconuts are how people survive in the islands. When there's a drought, when there's not much rain, they'll drink the water. That's how they get water. But they make everything. They use every part of the coconut. We learn so much about the life cycle of a coconut, much like the Alaskans learn about the cycle of salmon. So scratching coconuts, we got very good at, and never as good as a local person, but we got good at it. And the kids did as well. This next photo is of the kids in an island boat. This island boat is basically your run-of-the-mill how you get around. You just pay a guy to take you where you need to go, and you can get to the nearby islands in these. If you need to go further, you either get on a big ship or fly. But just the nearby islands, we could go and visit some neighbors or whatever just by getting in an island boat. And so it just became really common to us. Our ministry in Vanuatu was basically, the main purpose of our ministry was to teach in the Four Square Bible School there. And I'll get to that in a minute. But that was, 2 or 3 nights a week. But, we had other time where we could get involved in other places. And some of those places are these villages that I'm going to show you. The first one is Takara Village. And, this is Takara Village. And there's Heather in her island dress. She chose not to wear it this morning. Takara Village is a place where there is no Pentecostal church. And so there are some Presbyterian churches, and actually 2 Presbyterian churches. But the flavor of Presbyterian church there was very dead and legalistic. And I'm not saying that anything about Presbyterian here. We have some great brothers and sisters in a Presbyterian church. But in this village, they needed a little life. And so we felt led to start a gathering of believers there. And so this next photo is of us. We would leave. It's about an hour drive from where we live. And this truck would get mounded with people. These are people. There were people got out of the back just so we could take the photo. I'm like, no. I kind of want to show everybody how many people I can get in this thing. But there's water. We would take water out there because they were struggling with water. But we would have this truck full of people, like heads out the windows, stuff strapped all over it. And we would go out there and worship and study God's word with those people there. This next photo is where we would. This was our church. I mean, we went there for over a year, worshiping just under a little shelter. There's a little tarp, and the ocean is just nearby. You can hear it while we're worshiping. But we just sit down and on these mats, and there was something that I really enjoyed about worshiping that way. It was just so simple. And there's nothing wrong with how we do church in America like this. I'm not saying that. But there was a simpleness. It was stripped down to say, no, this is what God's word says about worshiping together. I just felt like it was just so authentic and real. And there was an exchange. And I just loved it. But this next photo is Heather organizing a little Sunday school in that village. And Audrey would help a little bit as well. And we'd brought some materials that the kids loved, the stickers and all of those things. So we were able to give away some Bibles in this next photo. We were able to give away some Jesus storybook Bibles. This village is close enough to the city that these kids are learning a little English. And maybe mom and dad know a little English, so they could learn. And Heather would help, would teach out of these things as well. This is another young girl with her new Bible. One more village we were involved in is Renthepau Village, where there actually is a Foursquare church. There's a Foursquare pastor. There's about 10 to 15 Foursquare churches in the whole country. But this next photo is of Heather sharing at this church. They're very proud to be Foursquare, as you can see. They hang the Foursquare flag back there. But Heather was sharing a word of encouragement in Renthepau. And we would go out there about every other Sunday. We would alternate between the villages, and we'd go out there, and I would share God's word and give us a little word of encouragement. This next photo is of them worship, praise and worshiping. They love to sing, and they love to sing loud. I love that about them. They may not sing good, but they sing loud, and I love that because I fit in really well. I don't sing very good, but I like to sing loud, and so I loved it because I was the quiet one there. Here you can hear my voice cut through, unfortunately. But Renthepau was a special place to us as well, and we're going to miss those believers. One other thing we got to do in Vanuatu is, well, one thing I noticed, and maybe you've experienced this in your own walk with the Lord, but the Bible is easy to understand, but then it's not. There's sections of God's word that are very difficult to understand. And there's lots of phrases that were used in Bible times that don't really make sense to us now. They don't translate, even when it's in an English translation. And we're good with English. But imagine some of these things that are, you know, like if your left hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, we all know that when we read that, it's just God's just saying, well, be serious about sin. Nothing's too exaggerate, you know, there's nothing too extreme nothing's too extreme to sort of steer you away from a certain sins. But someone that English might be their third, fourth, or fifth language, they might read that and maybe think it's serious, like, you know, like literal. And there's so many things throughout the Bible that are very difficult to understand. And so I felt that it was very helpful for them to have some sort of study tools. And so our home congregation in Newburgh put some money together, and we bought an ESV Global Study Bible. And it's a great tool because it's made for this exact purpose. It's made for developing countries, for places that don't maybe understand English all that well. And so this next photo is of us distributing over 60 Bibles to the Port Vila congregation. And these are the people that, if they know English, it would be these people. They're a little more affluent. They have a little bit better education. Still, English isn't great for them. But man, those study tools, just to read down and say, okay, that's what this means. And I told them that, look, this study part isn't God's word. That's just someone's interpretation. But it'll help you leapfrog into maybe what this scripture really means. And we had such good response. The kids had fun distributing the Bibles. And some of them, it was their first Bible ever. They had a terrible cyclone about 3 years ago. And the cyclone destroyed a lot of, you know, they don't have good houses. So when things get wet, they destroy things. So if they had a Bible, it was since destroyed. So so this next photo is of the Port Vila congregation. And in this, the wing that's closest to us is where the Bible school met. And that's where I spent most of my time teaching in the Bible school. And this was probably the best building of all the Foursquare churches in the whole country. It's a very simple building, but it worked and it survived the last cyclone. This next photo is of the some really special people to me. These are the second year Bible school students that I got to be with for their entire time. And from their first year, I was their teacher, and then the second year, and then this next photo is I got to see them. I'm super proud of these guys. You have no idea the challenges that these guys face to do what they do. For 2 years, they were faithful to come, and they have a heart. They have a heart for people to come to know the Lord. They don't know much in the way of academics. They don't know much in the way of really how to. We're so blessed in this country that this Bible is just put into us at an early age. And even because you know English means that you can read this book and be able to comprehend a lot of what it says. But these guys don't have that luxury. And they face so many challenges in the way of witchcraft and different kind of persecution from different kinds of evil spirits. It's a very easy place to talk about spiritual things because they understand the spiritual world. Unfortunately, they know the dark side of it more than they do the light. But these guys have a heart to show people about the light. And so they got to they graduated just this last November, and I got an email from these guys about 2 weeks ago, and it was this photo, and it said, "Hi Pastor, greetings from Patrick in Vanuatu." This is a picture of our missions trip to Emau. We're right at the top of the mountain. Emau is their home island. This is their home people that they care about. That they speak the same language. And they said that we're right at the top of the mountain. We're ending our 22 days of fasting. And it was so powerful ministering to our own people. It's a very remote place where they live. I've been there and ministered several times, but it was so encouraging that, to hear that these guys are doing what we talked about. They're doing it. Not something just head knowledge, but they're actually doing it. And they care about people, and they care about people coming to know the Lord. So I'm super proud of these guys. As you can tell, these are tears of joy. They're not tears of sadness. I'm just really happy for them. And if you've ever been a teacher of any way, this is what it's all about. When you see your students do what it is that you talked about. So it's actually, I'm really excited when I see these things. I'm not sad, but it does, I do get emotional. So this morning, I just didn't want it all to be about us and our ministry, but I did want to leave you with a little bit of encouragement. And so I have a few scriptures this morning that I wanted to share with you. And hopefully send us out of here this morning with a charge, a challenge. Is that okay? Can we talk about that for just 2 seconds? I wanted to leave you with something that was very heavy on my heart during our time in Vanuatu, and it's kind of even intensified since coming back to the States. And it's this idea of how we are strangers in a foreign land. And I kind of have already talked about that a little bit this morning. But that theme is in Scripture in several different places. And if you have your Bibles, in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, it says this in the NIV. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." And then skip down to verse 13. It says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive these things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Remember that. Foreigners and strangers on earth. Verse 14. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You see, Abraham, he was looking if Abraham was just looking for a good place to live, he would have returned to his homeland in Haran. But instead, Abraham had a view of eternity. And you've probably heard that before in church, of living with this idea of eternity. And that's kind of what this idea is living each day as if you want to impact eternity, having an eternal mindset, knowing that we are strangers and we're just passing through this place. If we were to really grasp that, I mean, this is a sermon series of several weeks, but if we were to grasp this, our lives would look much differently. My life would look much differently. I'm preaching to myself this morning. In 1 Peter 2:11, we know that Peter describes us that are followers of Jesus as sojourners and exiles. He uses that word. Some translations might use the word foreigners or aliens or strangers. But in other words, we are just passing through this place. The Bible continuously says that our life is just but a vapor. It's just a quick time on this earth. And then we go to our real home. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me clarify something really quick before we get off track here. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, Craig, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? Have you heard someone say that about someone? They're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I want us to know that being eternally minded doesn't mean that we're not supposed to be on this earth. That's not what this means. It doesn't mean that we weren't here for a reason. No, God has you and I here for a very special purpose, and we are here for a reason. But that doesn't mean that we can get content here. We need to have this constant turning in our spirit that says, no, this, I'm here for a reason. God woke me up this morning for a purpose. He gave me breath this morning for a reason. What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do? And so when we were in Vanuatu, this concept was actually really easy. It really was. It's been a little harder after coming back. It was really easy. Why? Because when I would wake up in the morning in Vanuatu, because a rooster woke me up at 3 in the morning and it's loud and there's some weird smell coming through my house, or because of the sounds and the sights, you know you're not in home. You're not in your home place. And so you're never comfortable. In fact, you're always kind of on edge. I was anyway. I never got comfortable in Vanuatu because this everything's just too different. The food's different. People, obviously, we look different. There's all sorts of things that are different. But when you're here in your homeland, you don't wake up in the morning with that feeling, do you? I don't. I have this. We get into routine, don't we? We get into routine and say, OK, I'm going to get my coffee at the same time in the morning. I'm going to run through here and I drop the kids off at school like I do at the same time. And we get into these programs where we go through day after day, and the next day is just like the previous day, and nothing eternity impacting happens. And granted, things are happening that we don't see, but I want to live in a way that says, God, how can I glorify you today? How can you be glorified today in my next breath, in my next thing? And I realize that's a little bit extreme. But this morning we sang this. I had to write this down. We sang this line. It says, crucified to set me free, now I live to bring him praise. I love that line. Now I live to bring him praise. But do we live to bring? It's a great thing to say in general terms, but do we live to bring him praise every moment of the day? Do we do that, church? Do we wake up and say, God, how can I bring you praise this morning? I know I'm just going to Walmart, but how do I bring you praise? God, change the course of my day somehow. Make it inconvenient so that you are glorified. And that's something that was very easy in Vanuatu, because us missionaries in Vanuatu, we would say, oh, I had a Vanuatu day, which means things got all messed up, which means that, like, you know, the truck broke down and like it was just every day was just so crazy. But that's not the way we kind of want the opposite here, don't we? We kind of ask for everything to go smooth and we ask for things to just be routine and to be easy. But are we radical enough to say, God, whatever it is, you've given me breath this morning so that you can be glorified. You've given me breath for a reason. Why am I here? God says that He created us in His image. Why? Because He needed image bearers every place in the globe. He needed people that would give Him glory, people that would usher people into His presence, into a relationship with Him. And so all I want to do is challenge us this morning and say, are we brave enough to wake up in the morning and say, God, do with whatever you want me to do. I don't want to feel comfortable here. I know I'm here for a reason. And maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you're a teenager, or maybe you're in your upper years. It doesn't matter. That's the cool part. Is God's given you breath and He's given you a reason and a plan and a purpose for that day, for that moment. And all I want us to do is ask why. Say, God, why? Why did you sit me next to this woman on TriMet, on the bus, or on the Max, or on an airplane? Why am I next to her? Does she need prayer? Does she just need a simple hello? That's a challenge for me. I'm the airplane snob. I don't like to talk to people on airplanes. I just sit straight or put the earbuds in. And sometimes God might be whispering, say, no, just take the earbuds out. Just ask this person how their day's going. You don't have to preach to them, but maybe I've got something for that person today, or maybe that person's struggling, or whatever it might be. But that's what I wanted to challenge us with this morning, and I'm finished now. But Francis Chan has an illustration that I absolutely love. He brings a long rope up onto the platform, a long, long rope. I don't know, maybe 100 feet long. And he ties a little piece of red tape around the end of it. And he says, look, guys, the Bible tells us that this red little spot is represents our life on earth. And then this rope that goes and coils forever, forever is eternity. And we spend our life struggling and struggling for this little red spot. And we forget about eternity. We it's such a silly mistake that we make. But we live for this little red speck and we think this is all there is. Instead, we could wake up in the morning and think, God, how can I impact someone's life, my life, that person's life, my neighbor's life for eternity? Because eternity is for eternity. It never ends. And there's power when we wake up that morning. And so here's what I want to do. I would just encourage you as we go this morning to find one of these scriptures or another scripture that encourages you to think about living purposely for eternity and put it somewhere in your view, in your routine, on your way to drop the kids off at school or to get coffee or to brush your teeth in the morning. Put it someplace where you can see it. Write it on your hand. Put it on your screensaver of your phone or your work computer, whatever it might be, so that you can constantly know that, God, you have me. You woke me up for a reason this morning. You have a plan and a purpose for my life. And more importantly, I believe most of us probably are followers of the Lord here. But you not only that, He has a plan and purpose for someone else's life that maybe you need to be a part of in showing them how a relationship with the Lord might look in their life. And so that's all I have this morning. I certainly, again, wanted to say a big thank you to you. Thank you for allowing us to come and share with you this morning. And also thank you for supporting our ministry in Vanuatu. We'll be here after service. We love to tell stories about Vanuatu. But we just want to say thank you. We love you guys. And thank you, Darren and Stacy. All right.
An encouraging word, and just that, again, it goes with what I said about this family of just obedience, of listening to the Lord and doing what He's called you to do. And the reality is God might not call you to a foreign country. And I say might, okay? Because I know years ago they had no thought in their mind of taking off to Vanuatu. He might not call you to a foreign country, but he does call you to love your neighbors. He does call you to make an impact in the world that he's called you to in that moment, in that place, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your neighborhood, your family, or whatever. And it's simply what Craig said of everyday understanding. We weren't just saved from something. We were saved for something, to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me just pray, and we're going to head out from here. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the entire Duncan family, Lord, because it wasn't just Craig or Heather as the missionaries. It was the Duncan family that went to Vanuatu and gave of their life. And we thank you for them and their heart of obedience to serve you, Lord. And Lord, we want to have those kind of hearts, that we're willing to do whatever you call us to do to make a difference in this world, Lord. And so use us, Lord. Help us to open our ears to hear you. And as we hear you and the things that you put into our heart, Lord, may we walk in obedience. Those things that will make us uncomfortable, that will maybe mess up our day a little, Lord. May we be willing to mess up our day, Lord, so that we can see your kingdom be extended in the world around us, Lord. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. May you allow this word, this time, just to penetrate our hearts and just challenge us in who we are, Lord, to be who you've called us to be, to live the lives that you've called us to live. We thank you for these things. We give you this word in Jesus' name. Amen.